And we are recording. So this is the Osgiliath Guard's Captain Roundtable. And we have Bara and Kep, Michal, Osdor, Renani, and Vraiden here with us. We might have a couple of other people drop in as we go along. And we will be discussing basically how to play a captain. I know a couple of the people that are in here have lower level captains and are just wanting to get a heads up about what's coming down the line. I know several other people have fully leveled captains, and I think that there will probably be multiple people who are contributing to this. A captain is not my first choice when I started playing this game, but once I got my captain to level 40, I all of a sudden stopped really wanting to play the other characters that much, and now I consider the captain the main. Captains are really busy, and they can be really complicated, but having played one for a while, I've really come to appreciate what he can do for a fellowship. There are multiple things that people expect from a captain going into any fellowship or raid. You've got marks, and the marks can either increase the damage that the fellowship is doing to a target by up to 10%. The marks can return health from a target. So when the target does damage, it only does 80% of the damage that it would have done, so to speak. And there are buffs that you can get that will gradually draw the aggro off of the other players, which is called Noble Mark. And it will get to a point where if you're going to be having to do captain tanking, which does happen sometimes, that's one of the ones that you would want to use. Captains are expected to do buffs. Buffs include what everyone commonly refers to as a crit buff. It's a relentless attack. I'm using a first age weapon, and I've got the three crystals on it, and I've also maxed out that legacy. We will talk about legacies in a few minutes. But for example, the relentless attack, I can put 1870 on the critical rating of any player. With the tactic On Guard, I can put a little over 2,053 parry rating on a player. Folks ask for it much less frequently, but there's the tactic Focus, which is essentially adding about 400 points of in-combat power regen. So occasionally, if power is an issue for especially a tactical player, then they'll ask for Focus. Most of the time, tanks ask for the parry buff, and everyone else wants the crit buff. Captains are expected to do the In Defense of Middle Earth, which you have to be traded for, but I don't know very many that aren't. And that adds plus 85 to Might, Vitality, Will, Fate, and Agility, so it's good for buffing everybody. And then on top of that, you've got your banners. If you use the top-of-the-line banners, then you're adding as much as, for the war banner, it's 4,788 physical mastery rating. Your melee damage goes up 5%, and you can get plus 968 points of morale to everyone in the fellowship. I wish they would make that raid-wide, but they don't.
The banners are just for you.
Yeah, well, no, they'll do your whole fellowship depending on how you have yourself traded. The physical mastery and the maximum morale on the Standard of Hope, most of the time I use either the War or the Hope. Occasionally I'll use Victory, which is essentially going to give you the best buff to your power. But all of that falls under buffs, so you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Counting the banners, you're looking at 8 different things that you're doing before you even get going that will improve the morale and the crit ratings and, in some cases, the power and other things about the character. Captains are expected to remove fear by using your Muster Courage. Again, this is going to be nearby companions, and companions means people that are in your fellowship, and you can remove all existing fear effects from them. Plus, you're giving them 20% fear resistance for the next 30 seconds or so. The problem with that skill is that it has a 30-second cooldown, but it's still better to have it than not. Captains have additional skills that they can throw in during a battle. The cries, like the improved war cry, which will give it shortens the attack duration and it increases the damage that you can do. You've got a rallying cry, which is a defeat response skill. The last one, the improved war cry, was too. The rallying cry gives morale. So every time an enemy is defeated, if you're not in cooldown, you can give everybody a little under 1,000 points morale initially, and then about 50 points every 3 seconds for, you know, up to about 200 points added on top of that. It's not big, but it can help. And captains are expected to raise the dead. There's three res skills that a captain has now, two of which are combat and one of which is out of combat. I will focus on the two that are in combat, one which is called Cry of Vengeance. It's limited in its nature. You've got to be within 15 meters, which isn't very far. And you've also got to click it within 20 seconds. If you take longer than 20 seconds, it goes back to gray again. There was a point in the history of LOTRO where you could set it up to where it would heal res two people at once. That is no longer the case. But it does res the target with 70% of their morale and 65% of their power. The worst thing about it is that it has a 30-minute cooldown. The other res that is combat is called Escape from Darkness. Escape from Darkness starts out with a 30-minute cooldown. It can revive your target with up to 100% morale and 75% of the power. And it affects, on the, you know, you've got that 30-second recently revived thing on you, which gives you a little bit of a semi-immunity. With two things, with one of the class traits that we'll talk about in a minute, and also with a legacy that you can put on your class item, you can get that 30 minutes on Escape from Darkness down to 10 minutes. And I can't tell you how many times that in a 10-minute fight, let me say an 11-minute fight, I've rezzed three people, because I'll use Cry of Vengeance and Escape from Darkness twice in a short fight, and so it's very helpful. Now, if you want to consider for the moment, because like I said, I'm going to save the trait lines for last. There are, looking at the legendary weapons, there are certain legacies that you absolutely are going to have, because people are going to want you to have them. And if you use Scrolls of Empowerment repeatedly until the weapon won't take them anymore, you can get a number of them all the way maxed up on your primary weapon. Almost every captain I've ever talked to has multiple weapons, however, one that might be called the buff stick. And a couple of the things that you're going to do, in my case, the morale buff is on my buff stick. But on my main weapon, I've got the telling mark damage, and I've got it ranked all the way up to where it adds 5%. Tactics on guard parry, which is the parry buff, which is all the way up to 9. I've got the Relentless Attack, which is the crit rating, all the way up to 9. I've got, also on my main weapon, I've got Devastating Blow Critical, but it's only up to 3, and Fate, which is only up to 6, because that was as high as I could get anything. But that's 830 points spent on that weapon. On my buff stick, which is named Buffy, so that I don't have a problem with it, I have my morale from Motivating Speech, which is up to 5%, added to the 5% that you already have. And I've also got Two Arms Duration, which is really important, and Blade of Elendil Damage, which is really important. And then aside from those, I've got like I'm up to rank 5 on my skill power cost. I've got fade up to 9. Fade up to 9. And then with the class item, the thing that's where you're going to put your focus buff. And so as long as you have on your class focus, you're also going to want something called Escape from Darkness cooldown. This is one of the two things that you can do to make your primary combat res shorter. It takes 600 seconds, i.e. 10 minutes, off of that res. There's a legendary trait that takes another 10 minutes off. I've got time of need morale cost on this weapon as well. Time of need is definitely a Hail Mary thing. It's so that you can get into a battle-readied state, and some of the skills that you're going to use aren't grayed out. You don't have to wait for a defeat response. The thing is that it takes a big chunk of your own morale to go there. So if you're being damaged, it's not a skill that you're going to want to use. If you're standing behind the main guy and he's wailing on the tank and you're not taking any damage, it's possible that you would use time of need. But it's going to cost like 2,300 points of morale to do it. And all you get for that is that you get into the battle-ready state, meaning that your routing cry and that your improved war cry and your rallying cry will become active without having to have a defeat response at the same time. Before I leave that subject, there is an item that you can get called a battle tonic. It also will put you into a battle-ready state. So, between getting in a battle-ready state by using your battle shout, which is the first way that all captains do it, and in addition to time of need, if you have the battle tonic, then that means that you were not having to deal with these anywhere from 15 to 45 second cooldowns on these things, but that in a pinch you can pull them out and you can use them repeatedly. I've also got, just to bring this up, and this is something that's not so much pertaining to a captain as to any player, but I'm going to mention it since I've kind of got you guys as a trapped audience, is I carry a third weapon. It's only a third age. It's level 85, but I got it to have dwarf damage. And I got it after taking my level 85 captain to help somebody that was like 55 do Sarner. And there's one level where you can't really hurt anything unless you've got dwarf damage. So between my multiple weapons, I've got Valerian, Westernese, and dwarf. And if I have to switch from my preferred weapon, which is a greatsword and which is Westernese, then I do have a choice that I can go to so that I've got the preferred damage type for whatever instance or raid that we're working. And then the last stop, as far as me yapping at everybody, before we go to talking about the traits, is I just want to say a little something about gear. To me, the biggest thing that attracts me to any particular gear set is not the individual attributes of any particular piece, but I consider the bonuses that you get for having different sets of gear to be very important. I am still carrying around my Hype Bolt gear. I've got a few pieces where if it's nothing but a physical fight, I can throw in, and I lose some of the buffs, but I end up getting a little bit more armor or a little bit more of one thing or another. But typically, the Hype Bolt set, which is the level 85 set, for my trait line, gives me plus 5%, an additional plus 5% on my Revealing Mark. That means that Revealing Mark now gives a 20% return of damage on damage. So if you take a hit for 5,000 points, you're going to get a 1,000-point heal at the same time, essentially reducing the amount of damage you're taking by 20%. But I also have a level 75 set, and I carry four pieces of that in my inventory. Those four pieces are from the Helm of Togner, which you get from the guy at the OxClan camp after you've gone through the entire Saruman thing. So before, when we're buffing and everybody is waiting for the captain to quit pointing, I will click all four of these Tognir armor items in my inventory, and with four equipped, my motivating speech gives a tactical mitigation buff of 600 points. So in addition to the plus 10% morale for 30 minutes, I'm giving everybody plus 600 points tactical mitigation for 30 minutes. And as soon as I do that, I go ahead and click the four pieces back, and I'm wearing my level 85 set and getting my 20% return on the revealing mark. Anybody want to jump in with anything before we start talking about traits?
Just a few clarifications. You were talking about banners, and while you can upgrade through traits, upgrade your what your banners do to your group, the stuff you see on the banner is only applied to the captain, and the buffs you get from the banner are different. I think for the 85 banner, you get just a little bit under 100 might and agility, and all the other things. And also for the revealing mark, what you are doing is whenever for your entire group, or it might be entire up to an entire raid, but when you place that on a character, anybody that does damage to that monster will return 20% of that damage to them.
Correct.
So it's a great. So it doesn't. The monster doesn't have to attack you. You have to attack it.
Oh. So, yes. I'm sorry.
That's just a small clarification there. And also some of the other things for weapons and stuff. Once you get into the legendary weapons, I like carrying three weapons as well. You have the buff stick, which I have the motivating speech and all the tactics on that one. Then I have two different legendary items for different purposes. I have my main legendary item, which has the melee skill power cost, telling mark damage. But then I also have, it's a AoE weapon, so I have pressing attack max targets on it and the pressing attack critical rating. And it could, so that makes my pressing attacks being able to hit up to, I think, six different NPCs. And I also have, because I like that one, I'm doing stuff so the cry is costless. But I also have, especially when I'm tanking, I have a single target weapon that has the melee skill power cost, telling mark damage, but then it has the devastating blow, critical chance, and defensive strike armor buff, which I really like having those on a single target. And the defensive strike is really good for when you're tanking, which we'll get into that later.
All good stuff.
All right, that's what else. It's about the only thing I've got to talk about.
Oh, no, that's good. That's all good. All right, anybody else? Questions or comments before we get into talking about the trait lines? All right. Overview of the trait lines. One of the things about the trait lines is if you have four of them, you get certain additional benefits. If you have five of them, you get to use the capstone skill. The way that I'm traded, I have from time to time gone all five and used the capstone skill for my line, which is the red line. Right now, I'm not doing that. Right now, I am only going with four, and I'm using Oathbreakers instead of the Master of War. I just switched back to this about a month ago because I was experimenting with how much I liked Master of War, and it's pretty good. But anyway, you can have a buff for having at least four of any one trait, and then you get an additional couple of buffs for that. And then if you have two of one particular trait line, you get a buff. So if you have a mixture, you can very easily, expand your horizons. There are, no matter how you're buffed, excuse me, no matter how you're traded, there are a couple of things that I think you just have to have. Now, this is opinion, but I feel strongly about this. One would be defiance, which comes from the yellow line, which is the leader of men. Because defiance not only gives you an extra 10 seconds on your last stand, but it also means that you're healed when last stand ends. Now, if you're being wailed on, you might still have a problem at that point, but at least you don't get killed right away. The other one is from the Hands of Healing trait line, which is the Blood of Numenor, and that means that anybody that revives using your Escape from Darkness or Cry of Vengeance will have more morale and power than they would have, and it also is the other way that you reduce the cooldown on your primary combat res by an additional 10 minutes. So with the trait that we talked, with the legacy that we talked about earlier on your legendary weapon, plus Blood of Numenor, you go from 30 minutes to 10 minutes on your primary res. But that being said, I will start out talking about my trait line, and then I'm going to see if anybody else wants to talk about the others. I'm using the red trait line, which is called Lead the Charge. The idea is that I am trying to increase the amount of damage that I'm doing and that my fellows are doing by combining it with Blade Brother and... I never did talk about the two arms skills, but I guess I can include that with this. By combining it with using Blade Brother on one of the people in my fellowship, then I am able to increase the amount of damage that the people in my fellowship are doing by 20%. That combined with the improved war cry, which is 5%, means that I'm getting, actually, I think it's 25%. I'm not looking at it right now. But with the improved war cry, you're really increasing the output of damage. And then the other part of Blade Brother is going to be it shortens the length of the inductions. Everybody fights faster and everybody hits harder. So that's essentially the group benefit from having a red line captain. My routing cry, which is another one of the traits in the Lead the Charge line, means that I get a short stun. It's only a few seconds. But, I mean, that can be enough to let you get out of the way. And it increases the damage. There is a skill in this line called Captain's Valor that improves your herald. I don't use a herald when I'm playing with a group. It just doesn't make sense to. I'm going to use a banner because the benefits of the banner on the group are better. The herald, to me, is better when you're playing with just yourself or with one other person. And I like to, and even then I don't use the herald as much as I use the archer because I want to have somebody that can do ranged pulls. So I don't use any of the skills in any of the trait lines that apply to the herald, but that's just an opinion. Expert attacks means that I have improved my chance of a critical hit with devastating blow and with pressing attack. And with Adherent of Elendil, I make that one skill puts off 15% more damage. And since that skill is also the happy skill that removes corruptions, I'm usually find myself using it a lot and having it have 15% more damage, plus increasing its amount of damage through legacies on the weapon, does some benefit that way. If I wanted to have five traits in this line so that I could use the Master of War legendary, then the fifth one would be Battle Master, which makes devastating blow and pressing attack do 10% more damage. But since right now I'm not using Battle Master, what I've got in place of that is I've got Tactical Prowess, which is part of the yellow line, Defiance, which is part of the yellow line, and by having both of those two things together, I've added 15% melee skill critical multiplier, and then I've got the Blood of Numenor, which, as I said, gets the it takes 10 minutes off of your escape from darkness, and then those four skills that I've got that are in the red line give me minus 10% mark skills cooldown, a 10% chance for the kick to initiate a fellowship maneuver, and grave wound will force the target to attack you for a limited time, so it's a good way to get aggro. Now, before we actually started recording, I made a very crass comment that, to me, a captain being regarded as a healer is like expecting somebody to put a Band-Aid on a traumatic amputation. I don't really regard the captain as being that strong in that regard. Multiple captains can do a decent job of supporting healers. And if you're traded hands of healing, of course, you're able to boost the healing output that you're doing. Would anyone like to talk about trading for hands of healing and what benefits they see in that?
This is Raiden. I almost always run in hands of healing. To me, it is the best default trait build for a captain. It's good for soloing. It's good for groups. You have to really talk me out of hands of healing for most of the time.
Good. And I respect that. Tell me why, though.
Well, as I was leveling, I like the hands of healing build because, you know, you still do respectable DPS. It might take a little longer than if you were traded red line or something like that. But, you know, you kill an enemy, you hit rally cry, you move on to the next one. When I leveled my captain, I leveled alongside a runekeeper. And when you level with a runekeeper, you don't need DPS because you're with a runekeeper. And so, to me, that was the best build. If we ever needed it, you know, the runekeeper would just, you know, zap anything that moves. And, you know, I'd be there for healing, for buffs. And again, just to hit rally cry, boost both of us back up, and then just move on to the next mob. And then when you build it, and also there's so many legacies that are geared towards hands of healing. Most people have, you talked about legendary items a second ago. Most people have, they'll have an emblem that's just has all their healing legacies on it, and then they'll usually swap out to another one. Like I said, I just find it to be the best default build. Now, you guys have talked me out of it, you know, to run Dragok, for instance, to get the kick that has the extra chance of triggering the CJ. But I just think most of the times I run in hands of healing, and I just never found any reason not to, really.
I used to run it, and in spite of everything that I've said, I don't think it's a mistake. I think it's a choice for, to a certain extent, your play style. I have to admit that I like the increased DPS. I like having the increased critical that I can get when I actually am not buffing somebody else and I'm hitting the thing with my sword. But I know that... before we started recording, there was a couple of comments. Kep was talking about doing sword hauls with no healer and only a captain as a healer, and he did a fine job. It's not my preference. I don't have as much fun playing it that way. But I really appreciate that you threw all that in there because people need to make their own choice.
Right. Well, I think to be a healing captain, you have to spend a lot of time watching the green bar. And most captains, in my experience, don't do that. But where I consider the minstrel to be my main, I spend a lot of time watching green bars. And when I play a different character, I'll be on my hunter, and I'll be like, why am I watching the green bars? Because that's just what I do. And so if you're used to that, being a healing captain is actually pretty easy. I think captains can main heal almost all of the three mans. You know, back in when it was a 65 game, we'd run sword halls, or we'd run school and library with a captain,
yeah,
a guard.
Me too.
And
that's when I was traded green too.
Exactly.
Or blue. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah.
And I think captains can run most of the six mans as the main healer. Again, if you're built for it, if you have the legacies set up, if you have your at the time when you had your virtues set up, you could main heal Grand Stairs on level. But you do have to pay attention and to know what you're doing.
Anybody want to address yellow? When I was soloing up, I was yellow, so I do have some experience with it, but I haven't done it in a long time.
This is Mahal, and definitely one of my favorite builds to go with, especially when you're solo leveling. Also, I like to use yellow when I am out in the moors. I think it's a good PvP build.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, and the main reason I really like yellow, aside from the trait set, is to get the capstone. The capstone, when you get the noble mark, is okay. It's good for tanking. But the other two buffs you get, Routing Cry is no longer on defeat skill, and you also can block when you're wielding a two-handed weapon. And most captains either run with a halberd or a two-handed sword, so that gives you a lot more defense there. When I usually go yellow, I do use Defiance and Tactical Prowess. I use those two all the time, because when I'm not yellow, I'm Hands of Healing, which is five blue. I use five blue, two yellows still. But a lot of the other ones, good, like Alert Guard is good, because it gives you a parry buff when you use Defensive Strike, which is one of the main skills that you always use, because it's so action friendly. But then when you have the Routing Cry as an on-demand skill instead of on-defeat skill, it's good to have the improved Routing Cry, which it's a force attack for 10 seconds when you're tanking, and it's a good AoE tank aggro deal. But when you're in PvP, you also want to get the Turn the Tide skill, which is a red skill, which when you use Routing Cry, you add fire damage.
And a stun.
And it also
and stuns, a stun.
Which is great for PvP, because a ward can pop you. As a yellow captain, you can survive his hits, and then when you finally come up out of deal, you can stun him and kill him. Which I really enjoy that, the wargs we have here on the Lindamere.
Yeah, I agree. In our kin. Yeah, up until about level 55, I was mostly yellow traded. I mean, some of them weren't available to me then because I hadn't done what was necessary to unlock a lot of them. But, I mean, you've got, like, I was also playing as part of a duo, and I wanted to be able to get the aggro, and there's, like, three skills in the yellow line that are directly involved with aggro. Echoing Shout and the Improved Routing Cry, and there's another one. I can't remember what it's called.
Intimidation. Yeah, that's your threatening shout.
Yeah, that helps you out there. Also, there is a way with the yellow trait Composure. It takes away half the morale cost for your In Time of Need skill. I figured out that you add that, and you combine it with the In Time of Need from your legendary item. In Time of Need morale cost on the emblem, and you could take away the morale cost of that special entirely, which is a really good benefit. So that I really do like using the yellow. Most, when you're grouping for us in 24-man, most people will not like a yellow captain just because my rotation that I go through, I can sometimes steal aggro from tanks, which is not fun. And so usually most group content, they prefer a Hands of Healing captain. But I have gone and done some lead tanks on 12-mans and 6-mans and stuff like that. And for the most part, a captain is a viable tank. I'm sure we need a little bit more healing than a guard or a warden because we don't have a shield. But we are just as good tanking, probably a little bit better tanking than champions.
Well, actually, I carry a shield. If I go to my one-handed sword, which is my buff stick, I will throw up the shield. And I'll do that if I'm like, what was the guy's name? Dirchist. We were farming Dirchist for a while before they took the rewards away from it. And I would be one of the three people that normally would run in front of him. And I had a shield. And that, it's not as strong as what a guardian can carry, but it still is better than nothing in that case. But everything that you're saying makes a lot of sense. I'm hoping to start getting into the Moras a little bit. There's two people in our kinship that are talking about running groups in there, and I am very inexperienced in the Moras. That's good to know that would be the trait set to depend on in there.
I think a Hands of Healing captain out in the Moors is also a respectable build, depending on how your raid is built. Back in the level 765 Moors setup, when you had the Heligrod armor, and if you slotted, if you had five enough pieces, I think, of the Heligrod armor, you could get your Rallying Cry down. The cooldown on that was down to something like 6 seconds or something absurdly low. And so captains kind of became Rally Cry monkeys. But that's a good build for the Moors, because every time you kill a creep, well, you hit Rally Cry, and then you just move on to the next one. And when they changed, I think it was with Isengard, when minstrels became the AOE DPS machines, a lot of minstrels started running around the Moors in Warspeech because they did so much AOE damage. And so then some raids would have captains healing and RKs healing instead of minstrels. And so, again, depending on how your raid is set up, you might want to have a captain out there healing.
One of the things about the red line is that it actually does cause a certain amount of healing. There's your inspire. When you have Shield Brother on somebody, your inspire raises the morale of everybody. And it's not a lot, but I mean, you can use the damn thing over and over and over and over again, and it's putting out a couple of hundred points every couple of seconds for everybody in the group. So in addition to using Words of Courage or using Rallying Cry, if you read all the little details as you're going through the rest of it, you're actually putting out, over time, a respectable amount of healing. I think maybe even in any of the trait lines. They all allow for a certain amount of it.
Can I throw out a question?
Of course.
I came in late to this. Gray, what you're saying is you pretty much run Redline as your major?
Right now, yeah. I've been doing in Wildermoor and about the last couple of months since the Dragosh days, I've been running Red.
And is there a trait or some way, I know there's an LI that does some of this, but besides LIs, is there a way to reduce the cooldown timer on Cry of Vengeance and Escape from Darkness for the revive?
There's a blue class trait called Blood of Numenor. And you have to use your Escape from Darkness like 100 times.
Okay.
And you get Blood of Numenor, and one of the things that I said is even though I'm going red line, I've got two yellows and one blue, because I only need the four things in the red line to get the buffs for it. Right. And Blood of Numenor, I would suggest any captain, no matter what the rest of their traits are, you're going to want that one, because that takes 10 minutes off of your primary combat res, and that plus having the legacy on your weapon to take 10 minutes off, it gets it from 30 minutes down to 10 for cooldown.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I knew there was something, but I had looked quickly and hadn't seen it. So that helps me out to know where that is. Yeah, I'm looking at I have to look and see where I am on saving allies. I have to go and get somebody to volunteer to be revived a few times for me, I think.
And that's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to earn that trait now that they have the out of combat res. Because before, I mean, it took me 3 years. I mean, literally, it took me 3 years to earn that trait, because if you're in a group, if you're doing your job well, no one dies. So it's kind of like, somebody has to die for me to earn this, spam this trait. Sorry about that. You know, but now that they have the out of combat res, you can, I think it increments 10 times a day or something like that.
Yeah,
I think it's 10 a day. Yeah, because I did it the other day. I know, because I've got my second Cappy running on my second account, and primarily he's a crafter or transporter. But I know that I was like, on my primary Cappy, I was kind of like, oh, well, I get this when I get reses in raids. But, you know, it was back when I brought him up, there was no out of combat res, which was just insane. Or at least if there was, it was a 20-minute timer. So how are you gonna go through and do that? You know, die and then come back in 20 minutes and die again for me. You know?
Well, I got my 100 uses of the skill in back in the days when Julie was running barrow downs once and sometimes twice a day.
Yeah, I think I got mine back in that era too.
Yeah, because there was always somebody was going to take a few hits.
I'll die for you.
Survival. Barrow down survival.
Yeah. We gave up on it because they shortened the room that you had to run, and they made it so that there's no way any character can kite anything because the monsters run three times faster than you do. So it's practically not doable, which I guess is what they intended in the first place.
Well, they nerfed wardens as well.
Yep. All right, well, folks, one of the things that might be a benefit is to not have this be too long, because other people are going to be listening to it going down the line. Anybody want to throw in any more comments or any more suggestions? And then we'll tie it up.
You're going to post this as a recording on Casual Stroll?
Vraiden said he was going to do that, yes. And also, I don't think, because you weren't here, Osdor has created a new domain that Arkin is going to be able to use to post everything from ABC files to recordings like this. So we will shortly be able to announce that. We're still kind of working on the technical side of it right now. But I'm hoping to put this there when that happens.
Great.
Songbrother, your healers.
Oh, that's right. You said something to me about that. Before we close, talk about that for just a second, Julie.
Well, it's a good thing to Songbrother your healers, especially when you have more than one captain in your group. Make sure that everyone is feeling the love. And unless you need extra DPS with that Blade Brother, do put that Song Brother on your healers, and they will, I don't know exactly how much more, but it's a whole lot better for the healer when you use it.
Well, hang on a second, and I'll tell you.
It decreases threat, and then it increases power regen. And then the other nice thing also is if you have the Fellowship Brother legendary trait slotted, those effects, and not just Song Brother, but also the Shield Brother and the Blade Brother, some of those bonuses also apply to the rest of the Fellowship.
Right.
Nice.
To arms, Songbrother gives 25% more healing output, and it applies to everybody in 50 meters. And
that's huge.
The other half of that is Strength of Will, Songbrother, which the power cost for healing is reduced by 10%. Now, the first one lasts for a minute. Excuse me, the first one, the 25% increase only lasts for 15 seconds, and it has a 1 minute cooldown, but you can play with the cooldown with your legendary traits. And I'm sorry, I said that wrong, with your legacies. And the Strength of Will that decreases your power use, it lasts for 2 minutes, and the cooldown is 2 minutes, so you can basically, every time it comes up, you can hit that again. And that means that the healers have got a 10% improvement on their use of power.
And in large raids, in large scale combat, most that is nice for getting the healers extra heals. But in most instances, most groups would prefer the running Fellowship Brother to use Blade Brother as well, especially on champions and stuff like that. When we run Dale, the Bells of Dale, and I'll Blade Brother the champion, and that gives him 25% more damage, and it'll give everybody else in the group, I think, 10% more damage, something like that.
Everybody. Effects applied to the Fellowship within 50 meters.
Yeah, but it's lesser effects, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's right. The big bonus applies to one person, and then everyone else gets a lesser bonus.
Okay.
And so I run with that instead of Oathbreakers, because over time it gives you more DPS for your bang for your buck. I assume from my own personal experience.
Yeah, that's right, because Oathbreakers is plus 35% damage, but it's for 10 seconds. Depending on what you're fighting. I mean, I usually have to be talked into Oathbreakers too, because I will slot Fellowship Brother before I slot Oathbreakers, especially in a raid or in a big group.
Right now, I just recently switched back to Oathbreakers because people kept asking for it. I had been going with Master of War, but the other two that I use is In Defense of Middle Earth and Fellowship Brother, because that means that the brother skills affect everybody with lesser versions of the same effects, but still everybody. I sometimes will go back to Master of War probably because it just makes you hit harder and faster.
Well, I think one of the things that, I don't know if you guys talked about stats earlier or not, but one of the things about In Defense of Middle Earth, when they took the stat caps off, you could almost talk me out of In Defense of Middle Earth now, because it really doesn't make that much difference. I mean, with if you're talking about a captain with 2200 might, or with a minstrel with, you know, 2400 will, another plus 85 with diminishing returns doesn't make that much difference. So maybe you slot instead of In Defense of Middle Earth with your other legendaries. Unless they change that, I see a lot of captains unslotting In Defense of Middle Earth just because it won't be worth taking up that slot anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't really agree 100% with that, but I do agree that there is some truth in there. When you talk about that you're adding that much might, vitality, will, fate, and whatever the other thing is, agility, but you're adding it to that many people as well. We've all been in fights where you got down to where three or four out of the six people had been defeated, and the last two are trying to finish it off, and they get down to, you know, like 300 points of morale, but they finally succeed. That's when something like that could have made the difference.
Right. I certainly agree with that, but I think that as new gear drops and as they keep raising the level cap, if, you know, because with In Defense of Middle Earth, you get plus one for each of the stats per level of your captain. So if you're level 47 captain, you get plus 47. I think at some point, it's not going to be worth it anymore if you can, again, maybe, you know, we all know, like you said, we're saying, sometimes the last man standing has 295 hit points left. Well, maybe if they had slotted Oathbreakers instead, or if they had slotted Fellowship Brother, and so then everyone in the party could get plus 10% DPS, or you can get the plus 35% damage for those 10 seconds, maybe you wouldn't get to that 300 hit point
level. Well, that's good point, too.
Again, I'm not saying that that's the be-all, end-all, but I mean, that's something that I think people ought to take into consideration when they're talking about slotting virtues and slotting traits. Does plus 85 really make that much of a difference if you're capped out on your mitigations and if you've got 32,000 physical mastery? Does that really come into play?
I think sometimes it's all going to be dependent on what it is that you're getting ready to do.
Oh, and that's 100% true as well.
We didn't even talk about virtues, but I don't think necessarily that the virtues is as much germane to a particular class as it is, in fact, to what you're getting ready to fight. I change my virtues around all the time. It's a benefit with the captain because he is my main, and I've done all the deeds through the various regions, that even when they raise the level caps on the virtues, day one when they go to 18 on the virtues, I'm going to have 18 on everything. So what I try to do is look on the internet or ask Renani, because she's pretty much done all of them, and find out what kind of damage is this going to be, and if you need to be traded a certain way, if you want to get your tactical up or your resistance up or your physical mitigation or any other one of the things that the virtues are good for, you trade according to the battle that you're getting ready to go into. And I don't think that's just for captains. I think that's everybody.
Oh, I agree.
Well, no, I'm actually pretty much every single one of my characters runs with the same virtues, which is pretty much just mitigations and then morale and vitality.
Right.
I guess sometimes you might want to trade off physical mitigation for tactical if it's a heavily tactical. In most instances, I run with physical mitigation as the main stat that I look for in virtues.
Yeah, and you can use your jewelry to a much lesser extent, armor, because with me, armor is more about the set bonuses. But with the jewelry especially, you can also, I've got extra jewelry now. I don't necessarily carry it around with me. But if I know, for example, that an hour from now we're going to be doing something that's going to be strictly tactical, I can put on jewelry that'll get my tactical up higher. But again, that's the same with everybody, so it's not so much a captain class thing. But I still wanted to reference it so that we had a complete coverage of the subject here. And my wife is listening in the background, and she said that I forgot to mention that it's all about pie.
Well, can't forget that.
Duh.
Yeah. And bacon.
Bacon pie.
Bacon.
Yeah, we discovered years ago the little, how you could wrap bacon around water chestnuts, and you can wrap bacon around artichoke hearts.
Wrap bacon around just about anything.
Yeah, well, I keep thinking, why not just wrap bacon around bacon when you need all this other stuff for? Folks, I want to thank everybody. We're running just under an hour, which I think is about as long as we need to take. I'm going to stop recording. I truly appreciate the attendance. I truly appreciate especially the contributions. And we will try to get this thing posted for anybody that missed it. And I will be putting stuff up on the forums to that effect. Oz, after we break up here, if you could stick around for a few minutes and mumble, I would like to go to the new website and play with it.
Sure.
All right. Thanks everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
I'm going to stop recording, and really do appreciate it very much.